When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This is episode 237, a big episode today as we go over Tuesday's brilliant performance against Preston, followed by Saturday's collapse at Cardiff. Then we preview the last two games of April, the crunch battle at the top at Leicester, then the last home game of the season against Stoke. We have no Moscow Mush this week, but we do have Tim Vizance. This is, of course, the day after his Chicago meetup, so we'll hear how that went. Firstly, Tim, how are you doing this morning?
I am disheveled. long day of celebration and sincerity, and met a lot of great people yesterday for those who flew in from all over the country, everywhere from Seattle, New York City, Texas. Had such a great time. Despite the results, I was very happy with how things went about, and happy with not only the embassy, so the public house be able to support us alongside then the club be able to provide that pretty cool video, and just all in all, the support from everyone that we've met. It was a good weekend.
That's good. I mean, you're not letting the result dampen your mood, so that's really good. I wish I could say the same, but yeah, I'm not feeling it this morning, Tim. I must admit, it was really, really down day yesterday. I just felt like staying in bed all day today and not doing anything. But, you know, here we are. And what do they say? We march on. So, yeah, the Preston game, that was massive. And that was an excellent performance against Preston. And the first half was as good as I can remember, really. And it was lovely to hold them off. No real threat. And also, clean sheet. But then, you know, Cardiff started well, looked dominant. Didn't take our chances once again, Tim, and we paid the ultimate price for that. Losing 2-1 was criminal, but I guess we can kiss this automatic promotion hopes goodbye now. And to make matters worse, the serious injury to Stu Armstrong, it was just on the field, Tim, a really, really terrible day.
I mean, even collectively with Bazunu's torn Achilles as well, it's a complete, you know, a complete shock here to be able to take a look at and see with it. And Stu's, you know, we all love Stu. Like the entire bar was just completely deflated when he went down and we were taking him off. Everyone was just like, we weren't alone in our suffering, which was the only solace I'll be able to take from it. But unfortunately, I think that's going to be Stu's last game in a Saints kit.
It looks like it, but I mean, we don't know. Who knows? If you are enjoying the show, please consider showing some support for us. And bearing in mind, you know, Tim's had a real heavy night. He's up. What time is it there, Tim?
It is 6:40 in the morning.
6:40 in the morning after a heavy night, and he's here to talk about that Cardiff game. I mean, if that's not worth a pint, then God, I don't know what is. You could do that by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber. Again, thank you to everyone that supported us already. And the Discord, always free to enter. Whenever you want to come in, just give us a message on our various means of communication and we'll get you in there. Right, Tim, we've got a little bit of news to go through today. So let's hit that now, shall we?
This
is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, so before we go through all the bad news, let's discuss the success of this US meetup, Tim. How did it all go? So yeah, just give us all the highs.
Yeah, so it was just a real fun opportunity to welcome in what is effectively now the USA Saints community. We've been fortunate enough here to, you know, work together with the Embassy Public House down in Little Italy here, right near downtown the Loop, that is. And so, you know, being able to stay in communication with everyone, for the last 4 months or so, we've been building out, and a group of us, including Colt Baker, myself, Philip Robertson, Trevor Foy, Alec Weiss, Ollie, we all just got together and said, we want to be able to make this community. We want to be able to make this work. And we've tried multiple times here in the Chicago area. And fortunately enough, I live in Chicago in Lincoln Park here, and wanted to create an opportunity for everyone to, you know, feel welcome, because the team itself has given us a lot of highs and unfortunately a lot of lows, but together, when we are one, and as a community, it's great to feel. And so, Friday had a little, a happy hour, hung out, watched the trains go by from our balcony. And then, Saturday, well, obviously was the day, the game, the meetup at 8 o'clock. The club was nice enough to make us a video for, being able to show, you know, what was basically a blooper reel for them trying to do the interviews. That's kind of the gist of it.
How about the raffle? How did that go down?
We raised $450 for the Saints Foundation.
Excellent.
And so it went really, really well. And I want to thank the club again. If they're able to hear, they're going to listen to this, or, I'll get in touch with the foundation tomorrow. The banks are going to be closed today since I have a lot of cash to deposit.
Excellent. So. That is good news. Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. And as I say, I'm glad that, you know, with this loss, you're still able to come away smiling from it, and, you know, with new friends, and you can obviously do another one again. And obviously when I go to Chicago at the end of this year, I can go down to that place as well.
It is now officially the Chicago Saints. It is the Saints, like, it's like the main, it's like the main one now in the US, and people are loving it, and they love every second of it.
Excellent. Will I be the first person from Southampton in there? I wonder.
No, there was probably like 5 or 6 people from Southampton that were originally they're expats that came.
Ah, yep. Excellent.
Yes.
That's good. That is good. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so now we go for the bad news. That's just what this new segment is these days. It's just bad news and that's it. But yeah, we start with some old news, actually, just to confirm that the FA gave their violent conduct punishment for Sekou Moura, which will see him get slapped with a 3-game suspension. That was the Preston, Cardiff, and he will miss Leicester as well, but he should be able to return for Stoke. Served 2 games of that already, so yeah, that's done. And injury news, we could have its own segment, this could, couldn't it? Because as you mentioned in the intro, Bazunu, his injury, that's been confirmed now. Ruptured Achilles during the warm-up in that Preston game. Season's come to a premature end, obviously. Could be sidelined for up to, 9 to 10 months, the club are saying. Big, big shame for him. Wish him all the best, firstly, you know, and hopefully he returns and comes back better than he was. But, yeah, we're definitely going to have to be in the market now for a new number one in the summer.
Yeah, I think we're ripe as well for a potential loan for the year. I could think that. I would love... I already have my mind set on Aaron Ramsdale. I think he would be great. I think he'd be fantastic, would fit really well, and, you know, get that year extra playing time that he needs. He's not starting ahead of Raya.
He's not, but I think that would determine, would depend on whether we get promoted or not. Obviously, we can pull in the better choice if we do get promoted. That would be massive for it, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, Flynn Downs. He came off at halftime against Preston on Tuesday night. We were cruising to a 3-0 win. And, you know, we at the time just thought, okay, this makes sense to rest him. We're, you know, not in any trouble from Preston. Getting ready for Cardiff. But Martin has revealed that he took a slight knock. And he said it, but he did say he should be ready to go again at Cardiff. But, of course, he wasn't ready in time. So, hopefully, fingers crossed, we know how important he is. He should be ready for Leicester. And then, of course, the big injury news to Stu Armstrong. Sit for the season. Martin has said it's a bad one. It's sad to say, but I mean, you said this. It could be it for him with us. You know, he's out of contract in the summer. We all know. It's just, yeah, a devastating way to go out. But let's hope that it's not as bad as it looked. And let's hope he can come back. And he comes back with us. He signs that new deal and gives it one last go. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. But at the moment, it's just not looking likely. But again, we'll wait to see in the week the extent of that injury. And hopefully it wasn't as bad as it seemed. Yeah, news came out from the club about the stadium redevelopments and ticket information for next season, and it's official now. I have to move, Tim. I'm not happy about it. It's something that I'm I've let the club know how I feel. The safe standing in the Northam home fan section is underway. Actually, I saw the pictures today saying they've already started working on it. So the away stand will move to the Chapel Kingsland corner. The family stand to move to my current corner of the Itching Chapel. So I have no idea where I'm going to be shifted to or how much they are charging me any extra for this. I don't know yet. More bad news. And more bad news. Jason Wilcox, his departure has been confirmed. But Tim, like you said last week or the week before, whenever it was, fuck him.
Fuck him. Goodbye. Don't eat your ass on the way out.
Excellent response. Yeah, I love it. Actually, we do have some good news. Nico Lawrence has penned a new contract extension, keeping him here until 2026. He spent the first half of the season on loan at Colchester. He returned, and Martin has been impressed with him, actually. And he's been a key part in the under-21s, and he's trained with the first team. So big future for him, hopefully. Again, depends on whether we go up or not, whether he's going to be involved next season or not. We don't know. More bad news. EFL Awards in the week just gone. Kai Walker-Peters was named in the Team of the Year, and rightly so, but not a mention for Adam Armstrong, criminal. I don't understand that, really. I don't get it. And Joe Rothwell's strike against Huddersfield was snubbed in favour of Wes Burns' outside of the boot curler against Coventry. Yeah, I can't say I'm truly surprised. It was a good goal from Wes Burns, but I mean, maybe I've just got my biased hat on and I think the Joe Rothwell strike was cleaner, purer, and it was just better. Especially in the circumstances of the game as well. So, yeah, I'm going to say that. Okay, so the under-21s, they haven't played, but they will be playing next week at Chelsea. That's Friday, the 26th of April, 7 o'clock kickoff. The women, they're back from their international break, as we said last week, and they play their last home game of the season today. They take on London City Lionesses at St Mary's from 2 o'clock, so not long before that kicks off. Under-18s, did you hear the under-18s yesterday, Tim?
I did not, actually.
Ooh, they played Reading away, and they won 9-0. 9-0!
Yes. No, incredible. Now I remember that.
Yeah. Good to get one back, I suppose, isn't it? Sam Amayor with a hat-trick. Jay Robinson, Prince of Batchiman, Nick Oyakunle, and there was a few trialists on the score sheet as well. But they next play Brighton at home, on Saturday the 27th of April, and that is at Staplewood. Okay, going to the match reports now, and starting with Preston.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, then. Preston from Tuesday night. That's their first league meeting at St Mary's for 15 years. And that ended in a 3-1 win to Saints. We had played them in the League Cup after that. That was 2-1 to Saints. This time, no troubles whatsoever. Convincing and not a very nervy one. We needed it after the drama of Watford. And it was practically perfect, wasn't it? 3 goals, all before half-time. A clean sheet, not under threat. It's a great way to settle the nerves because there were a few going into this game, Tim.
Yeah, from the second that game kicked off, we looked dominant. And despite Bazunu going down in the warm-ups itself, it didn't seem like the team wavered. And to be able to go out there and push the effort and say, you know, we're ready to go. We're ready to rock. This is, we're gunning for those autos, even though we thought we might have been out. Good all around, especially from Che for his clinical finishes.
I can't say the same thing against Cardiff. But yeah, 4 changes. One was forced, obviously, as you just mentioned. 3 to freshen things up, which Martin said was a difficult decision to leave them out. But out came Bree, Stevens and Smallbone. In came Manning, Bednarik and Stu. But yeah, say the one forced one was the biggest surprise. The injury to Bazunu in the warm-up. An Achilles injury. seen on crutches as well. Obviously, now we know that he's out for the season and out for a long, long period of time. But it was the first start in the league for Alex McCarthy, a first since that 4-4 draw with Liverpool at the end of last season. But he did make an appearance against Chillingham in the Carabao Cup this season. That didn't go down too well because, I mean, sub-keeper Lumley remained just that. What was his thinking there, do you think, Tim?
So during it, I had completely no idea, like, why the hell are they starting McCarthy? Did Lumley and Bazunu collide in any accident? And they were the ones who got injured? Or what was going on? And after he said, I just wanted to see what McCarthy could do. That was the most intriguing comment to me that I've heard from a manager in a long time. And I think he just wanted to see what he could do. And Lumley is designed to be the backup keeper. And I guess even the third person will come, the third keeper will come in and he'll still be the backup keeper.
Meant to be that backup, permanent backup. But yeah, he did actually say, yeah, I thought Al was brilliant. He trained so well. It could have been so easy for him to be deemed as a third choice because he's not on the bench. He's travelled everywhere, trains like a beast, supports the other goalies. The experience he has, I mean, he's played for England. He's really good goalkeeper. We've seen what Joe can do and it's been great. He's been great in the games, but he's come in and done well. But I wanted to have a look at Al. It was just my decision. I felt it in my gut at the time. So he did all right. Clean sheet. I don't think there was a few question marks over his footwork and. But then again, that's been the same with Bazunu all season. It's just the high risk reward that we play under Martin, playing out from the back. But I mean, it turns out it didn't matter anyway, because he had one shot to deal with. I think Mosko Mush could have played in goal and still wouldn't have made a difference that night.
Yeah, it was good for him to get his feet wet and like just be able to dip the toes in a little bit. Thinking about it, would you have gone directly with Lumley? I mean, I would have probably. Long term, if you wanted to go with McCarthy, it still surprised me that she just immediately made that switch. And ultimately, though, there isn't a big drop off that goes from Bazunu to McCarthy. I don't think there's a big drop off for any of her keepers.
No, all three of them. Yeah, you could say the same for all three of them. But yeah, I would have gone with McCarthy anyway. But then again, I would have put McCarthy on the bench all season and used Lumley as a third. It took 19 minutes, Tim, for us to take the lead. Che Adams, 100th club career goal. It's the fourth against Preston as well. So. They must be sick of him. Another assist from Adam Armstrong. That's number 13 for him. 16th goal of the season for Shea, by the way. But this was all, the pass and the movement. That was the key. And for the second one too. But that's what Martin Ball's all about. So it just seemed like a perfect plan executed here with red hot Shea at the end of it.
It was smooth going. For whatever reason, I think Preston decided that they were on the beach at that point, and we were totally okay with it. And we just rolled with it and loved it. Loved every second of it.
Yeah, it's a shame that Cardiff went on the beach, like you said, but, I did say they're going to stick one up bloody Martin, didn't they? That's what they want to do. Yes. Anyway, we're focusing on, I can't get this Cardiff game out of my head, so we're focusing on this one. The second goal, there was applause ringing around on the 28th minute for Joe Godden. That was a fitting tribute to him because Shea Adams slots home his second, right underneath the scoreboard where they were showing this tribute. And Shea Adams goes and scores the second. So, yeah, more passing, more movement. Brooks with the assist, and that was just, that was even better than the first. Excellent all round there.
It was clinical finishing that we have not seen from him in a long time. The 1-2 movement, it was silky smooth. It looked so good. It was super clean. It was just pretty to watch.
Yeah, one of my favourite games, especially the first half of the season, was this one because everything was just coming off and it looked great. We got a third straight after that, didn't we, in the 33rd minute. Stu Armstrong, and there's me thinking, okay, 3-0. Finally, we've got a comfortable lead. It's not even half time, it's just over half an hour played. And terrible, terrible defending from the Yank at the back. But yeah, I can't remember his name. Dwayne Holmes at the back, yeah. That's Stu's bread and butter, isn't it, really? Just a shot from there. Just it's almost free kick-like, wasn't it? Just...
Yeah, it was just like it just for whatever reason, like it just didn't even look like he was just shooting and during target practice. And he was like, oh, this was easy for him.
Very nice. But what was good about this, Tim, is this we're 3-0 up and there was still an urgency from us. They were still looking for a fourth and, they were taking throw ins really quickly. They were taking corners quickly, too. As I say, it was relentless. It was as good as it gets. And Stu had so many shots as well. He had two blocked. He had a free kick saved. Then he hits the post and. Dwayne Holmes was having an absolute nightmare, and he was taken off, what, in the 39th minute. And they put a 33-year-old right back on his place just because they couldn't deal with anything going down that left-hand side.
Absolutely. And he's he took a yellow card too, and he's obviously frustrated. So they're like, we just said no, he's done. Like they just took him out, and he's probably pissed at himself too, just as much as the team is.
Yeah, that's embarrassing, isn't it? When you know that you've let the team down so much, and you get pulled off in front of 30,000 people with some not a good feeling, I imagine. But yeah, perfect first half, especially from McCarthy's point of view as well, because I mean, you said it's good to get his toes wet, and he was kept quiet, hasn't played in ages, and you know, there must have been some nerves, because there certainly were for me when I saw that he was in net and thought, you know, you bring a cold goalie in, it's not going to be great. And I'll guarantee it that they would have said, look, let's just take some shots at him, see what he's got, he's going to be nervous. But yeah, we couldn't have played much better as a team, and it could have got much better, and Martin's plan was executed perfectly. He was thrilled. The fans could actually relax at halftime, Tim, and not have to worry about a collapse.
How many times have you watched Saints in your entire life where you felt at halftime things were so comfortable that you didn't even have to worry about the second half?
I think in Premier League season, it was just shit both halves, wasn't it? It wasn't really it was never comfortable. But this season especially, it's just been like that, isn't it? And to be fair, it's been the other way around as well, where we've been absolutely torrid in the first half and then turned it around in the second half. I mean, the Huddersfield one comes to mind. Yeah, it's never simple, is it? But this one was. You know, I can't remember. I think the Leeds game was quite comfortable. We were doing very well there. At St Mary's, obviously. But this one was so nice. And it was... You know, the fans need a break from all these nerves, this anxiety. They need to be able to sit and, you know, take a deep breath and say, right, okay, we can put this one to bed now. Just dot the I's, cross the T's and get the job done to come away with the 3 points and then prepare as early as we possibly can for Cardiff. And looking at these halftime stats, we had 14 shots to their one, which was outrageous. And I don't even remember their one, to be fair, because it was that dominant. And of course, we made that change at the break. Flynn Downs off for Shay Charles. Like for like, I thought, you know, just get some rest and recuperation for the most important player on our side. But yeah, as I said, it was the knock, as we mentioned during the news. But Tim, this form, back at our best, I would say. I mean, this is as best as we can play with the current players that we do have. And it was the most crucial time to find that. You know, while everyone around us was faltering, we were at our best. And the trick is to keep that going and take that to Cardiff and Leicester, but obviously we didn't. But yeah, it was back at our best there. It was one of the best performances of the season, I think, in my opinion.
Just absolute genuine of like when we play well, we look damn good doing it too. And it was a beauty to watch just all that entire game and any of those highlights going back.
See, that's what we can do. And I know that if we're looking lightly for the playoffs, if we do play like that in the playoffs, then we can go up for sure. You know, there's no need to worry about that. But it's just finding the best Saints. It rarely, rarely happens. But this was a luxury that we could enjoy, and a luxury to bring on subs, not to change the game, but just to freshen up legs.
Yeah, it was just Preston was great, and now we have this idea in the back of our head since we're talking about the game, but we know exactly what happened, and. It's
difficult to stay positive after that game on Saturday, isn't it? It really is. I'll say one more thing on this Preston game. We had 78% possession and 23 shots to their one. Only six on target, though, to their one. With an XG of 2.8 to their 0.1. That is as dominant as it gets. 3-0. Absolutely brilliant. Russell Martin had said, I think it was a brilliant performance with some really beautiful stuff. It has been a big week for us. It's changed the dynamic. We were written off some time ago, but the players have stuck at it and been resilient. We have the opportunity to take points off teams around us, but now we have to take care of the next one against Cardiff. And if we don't, then the others will become a bit pointless. So I'm guessing what he's saying is now that this Leicester game is a pointless one, which we'll get to in a minute. Man of the match, Tim.
Jay Adams. Just silky smooth finishing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to give it to Shay as well. But I want to say that Ryan Manning played well. I think he must be, you know, he must be all over the place at the moment. But come back in with that game, so much on the line, and to play like that, I thought he was good. I thought Stu was brilliant as well. Scored the best goal on the night, I think, and could have had more, as I say, at the post. But yeah, Shay for me. Scored twice. Could have had a hat trick. But yeah, that was five goals in his last five games now. Brilliant. And could he take that into Cardiff? No, he could not. But we were going into that Cardiff game just 3 points off of third place Leeds and 4 points off of Leicester. Still that game in hand over Leeds and Ipswich, which of course is a game against Leicester. But yeah, a shitty record at Cardiff. Previously, they've won 8 of their last 9 games, league games against us. Do you know, we haven't done a double over Cardiff since 1965-66. To wait a little bit longer again, don't we? But our away record is pretty good this season. Leeds in just 2 of our last 16. Add that to the fact that Cardiff had a hatful of injuries and were one of only 3 teams going in that weekend that could not be relegated or promoted. So nothing to play for. Should be a DOS. It looked like it was going to be easy too because we created so many chances and we took the lead on 12 minutes through Joe Aribo. But Tim, again, couldn't kill the game off and conceded twice, including that heartbreaking 96-minute deflected winner. But again, how many times are we going to say it this season? We are not taking our chances when we're dominating games and it's going to cost us.
Yeah, there's a couple moments that really just sit in the back of my head, especially that David Brooks dribble drive around the keeper and still couldn't finish. And we recognized pretty quickly, wait, we made this mistake. Something, we're going to pay for it.
And exactly. We did that. And the only thing that changed with the starting lineup was no Flynn Downs. Smallbone was in for him, playing in a number 6 role instead of a ready-made replacement in Shea Charles. Downs hadn't quite shaken off that knock against Preston. You know, aside from the Smallbone thing, it's very difficult to argue with the team that did so well on Tuesday. So, you know, the only other question that was on fans was, who makes the start, Macca or Lumley?
Yeah, and he stuck with McCarthy, and he did. He rolled with it, and I guess we all believed in Russell Martin. We were believing in going in so high to this game that, okay, you want to put Smallbone back in there even though he had issues at the 6? You want to put McCarthy in there even though he's been, you know, not even on the team sheet for the entire, you know, for the entire season? We just rolled with it. We took it. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in our favor.
Well, that wasn't the reason that we lost the game, was it? But it was just not taking the chances and just getting caught out. But yeah, I get it. Yeah. But we did put a poll out on our Discord and Insta about who should start over Macca or Lumley, and it was overwhelming for Macca. So the fans wanted it as well.
We've seen McCarthy play really well in games, and so anybody who's followed us, we said, all right, let's just plug him back in.
Yeah, I've got no problem with it, honestly. I don't. At this point of the season, it doesn't really matter now, does it? We were out of the race, weren't we? And then suddenly we were back in it, and then back out of it again yesterday. It's never simple, and they put us through it. And seemingly we've blown it again. They're going to call us the bottle jobs, the big game losers. We keep on doing it. Emotions over this past month have been up and down. And, you know, this is right here. You know, this is a huge, huge kick in the teeth, especially having countless chances to extend this lead. It was just really, really tough one to take. And again, I just found myself sat there at the end of the game, just not wanting to think about it. And just a sickening thought. But Joe Aribo did give us the lead. It's a good start, I suppose. We dominate possession like we always know, and we always do. Adam Armstrong whips in a cross, and Horvath, he parries it out right to the feet of Joe Aribo, who hits it into the ground of the gaping net. Nice little settler. Now let's go and get that second right away.
We just looked good. I mean, we looked like we were ready to rock, and it felt like we were ready to go. And, you know, with the Aribo, I think it was, what, the 13th, 14th minute or so?
12th. Yeah.
12th minute. Yep. And it just, we are all sitting there, you know, watching the game, yelling, screaming, hooting, hollering. My voice is obviously trash from yelling and screaming so much. And then you just saw the little the mistakes. You saw the Brooks dribble around. You saw the Adams, breakaway miss that went straight into Horvath's chest. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It's crazy to think about how our emotions and our feelings can be determined by the success of our team that we follow.
Oh yeah. Tell me about it. I mean, Wednesday I was in work, you know, I was whistling away thinking, yes, this is it. We can still do this. This is not over. And then tomorrow morning I'm going to go into work and be like, well, don't even talk to me. You know, football doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, it does, no matter how many times I tell myself that I'm not going to let my emotions ruin my day, It still happens. And it's all because of this football club. It happens all the time. Maybe I'll never grow out of it. It's just the way that I'm programmed. But yeah, you talked about those big chances, and I'll go through a couple of those now. We've been saying, actually, Tim, how well Shea has responded to missing some of those big chances recently. I think Middlesbrough and Blackburn game, he drew blanks. But yeah, he's been putting the ball in the back of the net, and that's the best way to respond. As I said just a minute ago, 5 goals in his last 5. That's not including a deflected Kyle Walker-Peters goal against Coventry. 18 goals in the campaign now, only 2 away from Armstrong. But it swung back the other way here again. When we needed it the most, you know, he missed some glaring chances again, starting with that one-on-one. That's the one that Stu lifts the ball over into the path of Aribo, and he's taken out, and Shea's left to pick up the pieces, and he's got one shot. And he puts it straight at to Horvath's chest. That's the one that you were just mentioning there. And the second one was just moments later. He claimed the penalty because there was contact in the back from Gutas, I believe. But he failed to connect properly, and he missed that one by a long way.
Yeah, he just got body checked. And Chase is big. I mean, he's a strong guy. He shouldn't be getting checked out like that. And all of a sudden, he just gets completely taken out, and it was not. He should have done a whole lot better than that one with that one too.
Not even on target. It was nowhere near on target. It's just awful. It wasn't just Shea. It was David Brooks as well. He had perhaps the best chance to double the lead. He's coming from the press. He troubled Horvath in goal. It falls to Brooks, who takes it past him. He's got an open goal, Tim, and he was just trying to make a better opportunity to shoot. And in the end, he left it too late. Cardiff were able to recover and. Yeah, just head in the hand stuff. Why didn't he just pull the trigger, trying to walk it in?
He was dancing around too much. He was in the back of his mindset. He had the highlight reel goal. He was ready. He wanted to make sure he looked good while he was there, be able to make a perfect shot. Whereas Horvath, he just came from behind, slipped in, and knocked the ball and tripped over himself and looked like a complete fool all at the same time.
But 62% possession at the half, 12 shots and 6 on target versus their 3 shots with 2 on target. Again, nothing to suggest that we would go on to lose this game. And how we didn't go up 3-4-0 in that first half is beyond me. And it should have just been like that Preston game, because we were playing some good football. It was good to see. And we knew that we could score it at ease. I mean, we did it on Tuesday night. He had them on the ropes. The pressure would have been off then at half time. Instead, we've ended up with nothing. And it's just so hard to accept this. And he made a change at the break as well, Manning off at half time for James Bree. And then he switched Kyle Walker-Peters to the left. That had no real success either, did it?
No, we were all kind of wondering too, what was going on with it. It was based on the play. Perry NG didn't play, so no. Him being, one of the best right backs in the league, the second best behind Walker-Peters. I'm surprised he wasn't on the left side as it was in the first place. But all in all, it just didn't work out.
Yeah, one of those days, wasn't it, where nothing seemed to work, nothing seemed to go right. Adam Armstrong had a chance as well, had a diving header, but he headed it right into the face of Horvath again. And then, of course, the inevitable happens. Cardiff get the equaliser. Jeju, 68th minute. They worked it through the back line, slid it into a crowded area, and somehow it's found its way through. And he's found all the blue shirts. I don't know how, and he's just tucked it away. It's that's a bad one to concede.
Yeah, it felt like he just completely just danced in there. The ball just kind of hung around way too much, and then it just passes, and we're like, what the hell? Why is this ball in the net?
We should have defended that, and we didn't. And then you get to the point where Cardiff are hanging on. And the commentators are getting excited because they know that, there's going to be some added on time here. And there's the way that we ended that Watford game, the way that we've scored late goals all season, we're going to get some chances to go and win this game. And then they put 9 minutes of added time up. Sulemana went down, of course, injured with that. That looked pretty scary. Thankfully, he was okay, Tim. But I want to talk about him for a sec because he did appear to lose consciousness for a moment. Bednarik had to roll him into the recovery position. He was okay. No one should be playing on after that, right? If he did lose consciousness. Martin has refused to say anything on the situation as well. All he says is, he's fine. He doesn't want to elaborate any further. I mean, who knows whether he'll be under concussion protocol for Tuesday? I don't know. But if he did lose consciousness, then he should have been taken off you know, you get those extra subs now, don't you, for that? So we could have used that.
Yeah. I just didn't realize, like, with the hit that he took, it just did not look good. It wasn't like an Oculus or anything like that. It's like, wow, this guy looks like he is out. And we are all sitting there, and obviously we're completely deflated. And Suamana, and then obviously with the Stu's injury too, it's like we've been just kicked in the dick straight over and over and over and over and over again.
Haven't we had enough of that? All the pressure in this 9 minutes of added time, we looked more likely to score, but you know, it goes up the other end, and in the cruelest of ways, it comes off Bednarik's ass. And right into the bottom corner of McCarthy's net. Just, oh my goodness, disbelief. You know, to get a point here was devastating, but to lose the game, goodness me.
I mean, it felt almost like the Ipswich game, where obviously we went down to 10, and then they came back and scored and won it. But this one felt even worse, because we should be winning this game, and we weren't able to take our chances, and it just did not sit well for all of us.
No. Not at all. And the bad, you know, obviously we go on to lose the game 2-1 straight after that. But as I said, Stu Armstrong, really don't know what's going to happen with him in the summer. But I just want to say, yeah, I hope he's well. I hope he can recover as quickly as possible. Everyone from the team wishes him the best. And we're hoping he can be with us again for another season. But yeah, Tim, so much for them being on the beach. Cardiff giving the biggest fuck you ever to Russell Martin. And I remember saying when we beat them at St. Mary's that they could have the last laugh. And they have. And you could see how much it meant to them as well. That's the thing. I mean, they're not supposed to be playing for anything. But you look at the way that they celebrated with the fans at the end of the game, that's not nothing. So, yeah, credit to them for that, because it meant something to them.
Yeah, well, fuck them.
Yeah, okay. 62% possession, 21 shots with 8 on target, only 12 for them. And 7 on target. 21 shots, Tim. Oh, it makes me even more angry just reading it. Russell Martin said it's unacceptable to lose the game with the amount of chances we have. We should have been out of sight at halftime. We played some amazing football, but it won't matter one bit because we lost. I said something to the players after the game. If you're not going to have the conviction and ruthlessness and be clinical in their box, defend your own properly. And we didn't. Heard it time and time again, Tim. I'm sick of hearing it, to be honest. How many times have I said that this season, that we have the chances, we're not clinical enough, we don't put them away, we get beat, and this is exactly what's happened again. It's a broken record, and I'm done. But yeah, man of the match.
Tough. Stu, he hit the post on that one shot, and he gave up his knee for it all. So I'm going to go with Stu.
So am I, for me as well. I said he looked more likely to double the lead. I mean, he hit the post, as you said. He made the passes that led to Shea's misses. He had the most key passes in the team as well, and he was involved with most of those attacks. So, yeah, maybe with the heart as well, Stu Armstrong gets it for me. But, yeah, what does that mean to the table then? It means we're in fourth still. Everyone's played 43 at this point. We've won 24, drawn 9, lost 9. That's 84 points. With 3 games to go, we've got Leicester, Stoke and Leeds, 3 points behind Leeds, 5 behind Ipswich in the second. And I guess it's out of our hands now. We're relying on others to slip up. But before we go into the previews, Tim, I have a question. I mean, I can't remember where you predicted we'd finish at the start of the season. Maybe you could tell me. But if we don't make it to the automatic places, would you consider this season, on the whole, a failure?
It's at my expectation. I had us in fifth, mm-hmm. and so being in fourth place, you know, I think we're actually a little bit better than I was anticipating. But what we don't anticipate is for Ipswich and for Leicester and Leeds to just be some completely dominant. I mean, maybe you kind of can, but. All in all, like, for us to be in fifth place or fourth place at this time, my expectations are, this is where I expected us. Now, is it a failure? A failure is not getting promoted. That is still a failure, regardless of getting, fifth, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth in the playoffs. Our goal is to get promoted. And people would keep talking. They're like, well, do you want to stay down? And they're like, oh, what do you think about, like, going up to the championship, to not being promoted? And I was like, I was like, first off, that's not why you play it. You go up and you're pushing for that promotion. Well, if the result is that we stay down for another season, well, the bigger issue is that there's a lot, likely even more and more chances that we won't be able to get promoted later on if we don't go back up immediately.
Yeah, we need to. There's jobs on the line here. You can't not want to go up. You have to go up. As simple as that. You have to go up. If you don't, then yeah, like you said, you're going to have your chances of going up the next season are dramatically decreased, and it's going to keep on doing that. So yeah, they need to go up. And I'm with you. That was a perfect response, Tim. I think I was trying to weigh up whether it's a failure or a success. I mean, you look when I had us. I can't even remember where I had us. I think I had us just outside the playoffs. So they've done better than I thought they were going to do. However, you go 26 games undefeated and you're right in there with a chance, and then you don't do it. That's when you need to think, oh, okay, maybe it is a failure then. But totally agree with you. If we don't get automatic promotion, then you have to go up through the playoffs. And if we don't do it, then yeah, I consider it we failed. Our mission was to go straight back up again. If we don't do it, then it's a failure. And don't forget, you're going to lose Kyle Walker-Peters. That's inevitable. And we don't want that to happen. So another reason why you have to go up, you need to keep your best players. And the only way to do that is to go up.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay, yeah, Leicester. The big one. Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 8 o'clock kickoff. That's at the King Power Stadium, and it's on Sky Sports. I say, I don't even know if this matters now, but I mean, wouldn't it just be like Saints to go and win here and throw some more doubt into these automatic promotion places? And let's hope that they have the mentality that, you know, if it's still mathematically possible, then we still have to have a go for it, because it doesn't change the fact that this is still a big, big game. So let's go out there and give it our all and go and do it for Stu.
Yeah, it's, you know, Leicester just beat West Brom 2-1, and it didn't. They didn't look overly convincing either. We had the game on at the bar before the Cardiff kickoff. So being able to take a look at it and see, and Vardy scoring in the 66th minute or so, mm-hmm. to put them up 2-0, and then eventually, Jed Wall is trying to skate one back, to be 2-1. At this point in time, like you said, we're in the playoffs. Okay. We're ready to go. We can do this, but the mentality has to switch and be ready to go for what is, because we could be playing Leicester in the playoffs. We could be playing, you know, Ipswich. We got to be at our best, and away from home, we've got to take it to them and do what we can. And we have to go guns a-blazing here. We can't just sit back and, you know, twiddle our thumbs and Stu being gone. Oh, what are we, you know, how are we going to make any changes? I think he'll go with the same starting 11 that he had currently, with replacement for Rothwell coming in for us, for Stu.
So you don't think that he's going to bring in Shea Charles?
I don't think he'll bring in Shea Charles. For some reason, he doesn't want to play Shea Charles. I think that was one of the things we were talking about. It's like, does he just not like Shea Charles? And I think it's maybe more maturity, or it could be just position discipline, something like that. But I think he'll want the experience of Rothwell coming in.
Yeah, yeah, quite possibly. I can't see anything straying away from that. I don't think he's going to take McCarthy out now. I think McCarthy's into the end of the season if he stays fit. But the only thing I'm unsure is Manning and Bree. Is he just going to keep swapping and changing those? Because I don't think Manning had a bad game against Preston. I thought he did well. But do you expect him to come back in for Leicester?
I think Manning will come back in for Leicester as well.
What about Jack Stevens?
I do not think Stevens. I think it'll be Bednarik, Howard Bellis, Manning on the left, and Walker Peters on the right.
You don't think Flynn Downs is going to be fit either?
I don't, because they seem to magically not be comfortable with talking about, mentioning anything about him. All of a sudden, like, he just doesn't show up on the team sheet sometimes. And we're all like, we can tell when he's not there. One, because we play like shit when he's not around.
That's disappointing. Let's hope he's back. And let's hope that, he can go straight back into that number six role. Predictions. Kevin is up first. Kevin is actually, I guess you can call this positive. He's going for a 2-2 draw. Although it's not what we need. We need to win. It's win or bust, really, isn't it? And we know that. need to take 3 points off of Leicester, really. But he's going 2-2. And Tim, you are up next. What's going to happen?
I had us winning the last two games, obviously the Preston and the Cardiff game. And my anticipation was that it was going to be a hard-fought battle, and we would have eventually would have drew against Leicester in this game. But because of this, I do think we are going to, you know, swing the pendulum in the right way. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win 2-1.
Wow.
We're going to do it for Stu.
That would be something. I would absolutely love that. Just to take 3 points off of Leicester and then throw us back in it again. And I mean, who knows? You never know, do you? I, however, am not feeling optimistic. I know when the pressure's off, they seem to play a little bit better. And these big pressure games that we put on the players too much, they don't normally turn up, and they bottle them, if you were. I think it's going to happen again. I think Leicester are going to have too much for us at their own grounds. And I think they're going to be up for this, aren't they? They know what this means. This could mean automatic promotion. It will give them a great, great big chance to go and win the league. So I think they're going to win this 2-0. So I think we get shut out 2-0. And then, of course, the last home game of the season, if you don't include the playoffs, of course, it doesn't matter what happens in that Leicester game. We still have to go out there and get the job done. I mean, it has been a crazy year, and we don't know how Leeds and Ipswich will carry on. I just said anything can happen. We don't know. I mean, if we don't see a win here, this would be considered a failure, surely, Tim.
We just got to take it to them.
Give the fans something on the last day.
You know, our like-minded striped counterpart in Stoke City, currently right now sitting with that, they've got something to play for though, because they could very well be relegated if they don't, because they're sitting, and there's definitely some issues. There's some movement down at the bottom of the table. So with Stoke sitting in 18th right now, Blackburn is ahead of them on goal difference, but with 50 points, and they're ahead of QPR on goal difference as well. Actually, not even goal difference. They're tied on goal difference. They're ahead of them on goals scored.
Yeah.
So, the last relegation spot sitting in Sheffield Wednesday, 45 points, with basically two games to go. And what's going to happen? What's it going to be? I think Stoke are going to try, and they're going to come and try and take it to us, but we are going to do very well to fight that off. And with my prediction of the Leicester win, and with the, you know, RIP Stu game that we'll have, then it'll be a tough one to deal with at home as well. But I think we're going to do pretty well.
Okay, and your prediction, your first?
I'm going with 2-0 win against Stoke City.
I'm going 0-0, Tim. No, I'm not. I've got exactly the same. I'm going 2-0 as well. I think it's just going to be a end of season hurrah. Let's get ready for those playoffs. Yeah, shut them out. 2-0. Send the fans away happy, and then just get prepared for that last Leeds game, which I don't think will matter at that point. Kevin is going for a Saints win, but he's going for a 2-1. You know what he's like. He doesn't think we're ever going to keep a clean sheet. So, yeah, he's going 2-1. Okay, on to the Discord then from the week, the Preston game. We had correct scores. We had two correct scores, for 4 points for Burke 1 and Crumblebum. Well done to them. Great name, by the way. And then Cardiff, no one going for a Cardiff 2-1 win, but two people going for Cardiff wins. And that was Greener and Not Very Slim Jim. I have posted the updated league table on the Discord, so go check it out. I've slipped back down again, so I scored no points because I had Preston to win and I had Saints to win. So what an idiot. But yeah, so get your predictions in for Leicester and for Stoke as soon as you possibly can. And the Super Six, round 49, was won by John Tekeen, Russ Sayers, Gavin Burgess with 9 points. And round 50 is still ongoing, but obviously in the lead, we still have Andrew Knight on 419 points. Now, Tim, I am very, very excited. I've stayed away from Gaffer because I want to get the update from you. I am very, very keen to hear how this has been going and how you and the other Tim B from America are doing.
Tim Brucker, man, he just knows exactly what he's doing, unfortunately. Both using the performant enhancement power-ups on the day. So we are both at 45 and 47 points on the day, so not a whole lot going on there. but he is still ahead by 65 points with two games remaining. It is tough. It is.
Have you got any more power ups to use, Tim?
I do have one more power up left. So
is it going to make a difference?
We'll find out.
We will find out. Stay tuned. This is all going down to the wire. Fantasy football. I suck. 24 points from me this week. How did you do?
I've got 17, so I'm pretty trash.
Oh, wow. At least I beat you this week so far. So I'll take that. Kevin, do 14 points. Oh, okay. So I'm actually ahead of both of you this week, which is great. The only person that's actually beaten me in the Saints FC Podcasters League is Jacob Tanswell, who shouldn't even be in there anymore. So, because he's a Villa man now, obviously. But yeah, and the big league. At the top, we have Livralavialoka on 2,077 points. And second, we've got Jamie Thorpe, Cancelo Culture, on 2,061. In third place, we've got Josh Parkhouse's Parky FC on 2,057. Dan Buck slipped down. So yeah, in the big league, where are you? Where are you? You're doing quite well, aren't you, in that big league?
I'm 39th right now in the big league.
Oh, okay. That's good. I've gone up, strangely. I'm 88, which I can never understand. I don't really do very well, but I keep on going up. But I'll take it. At least someone's going up. My football team certainly isn't. but yeah, next week we'll go over the Leicester and Stoke losses. We'll go over the Leicester and Stoke games, and we'll prepare for one last game before the playoffs, of course. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Thank you for listening to In That Number. Sports Social Podcast Network.